The General Services Administration wants to know why prices change between different schedules for the same thing or similar things. Larry Allen's president of Allen Federal Business Partners and writes the Week Ahead newsletter, and he says GSA's competitive pricing initiative could create a flood of industry experts jumping to conclusions. If it's just a couple of talking heads like us sitting around, Larry, talking about this, I'm not sure that's such a terrible idea. You're writing about this in the Week Ahead newsletter. Why is this on your mind? Thanks for coming on, as always, my friend.
Absolutely, Francis. It's on my mind for two reasons. First of all, it's important for contractors to know that GSA continues to place a high value on getting to the bottom of why there is price disparity, sometimes very wide, among the same or similar items on its GSA schedule contracts. So it's important to know that GSA is looking at this, and it's a pressure area that contractors are definitely feeling. That is not new. It's remarkable for because it's ongoing, but it's also remarkable, Francis, because now GSA has gone out and asked contractors why there are those types of disparities. So reason for putting it in the newsletter is to say, look, contractors, a lot of times you do have a good story to tell about why there are differences in pricing. Now's your time to stand up and talk about why, and if you don't do it now, then you can't come back and complain later on.
I'm sure you can imagine, as the former president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, why the current president, Roger Waldron, is, I mean, all you have to say is PRC, and he's, and I love Roger, and I'm, if you're listening, Roger, I don't mean this in a disparaging way at all, but he gets very passionate and very emotional about this, and he starts talking with his hands, and he's really, really concerned about this, and it's easy to understand why, isn't it, Larry?
Oh, it's absolutely easy to understand why. I mean, first of all, you know, there are issues with flattening out prices, and things aren't exactly the same as they might appear to be. You know, similar items are just that. They're similar but not the same. Some are better quality. Some have improved warranty. Some have some real legitimate differences. So it's important for contractors to tell that story. I think GSA's default a couple of years ago had been to assume that, well, all of these disparities are just because we have contracting officers in different parts of the agency that hadn't been paying attention, and they let contractors add things at whatever price point worked. You know, it's a big program. Can you say that never happens? No, you can't. But I think you ought to give your contracting officers and your industry partners a little bit more credit for understanding specific differences. And this, is again, is a chance for people to explain those.
You can see why, though, the cases, the situations where that is the case, why they would want to go after that and understand it. I mean, that seems to me to be fairly reasonable. And I agree with you that it's probably not true in every single case, in every single situation. But you can see why they'd want to know that where that's knowable.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that we will find some prices on the schedules program that argue in favor of some ironing out and maybe bringing some things back into a more competitive range. And as taxpayers and people who actually want to see the procurement system work, you know, those are good things. You want that to happen. But you want to have a reasoned conversation, a reasoned discussion, looking into each of these circumstances so that there's not an automatic assumption that it's just a bunch of people who are out to get the feds.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners and publishes the Week Ahead newsletter, comes out every Monday. And you write about the competitive pricing initiative that GSA is initiating. What's your take on the competitive pricing initiative, Larry?
Well, this is part of GSA's attempt, again, to make sure that their prices on schedule are fair and reasonable, and that federal buyers have good data on which they can base purchasing decisions to make sure that they're spending the government money wisely. And so I think that the competitive pricing initiative at a macro level is well intended. Like a lot of things, we'll see what happens it can't all be, all of the responsibility, for example, Francis, can't be dumped on the contractor community. If the government perceives this type of information to be a good and helpful thing, then the government ought to have a hand in putting it together and supplying it.
You propose a new piece of equipment that I've never heard of in the newsletter this week, Larry. What is a Boomer to Gen Y translator? It sounds like it's from Star Trek.
Oh, this is way past Star Trek, Francis. And what, you know, we're talking about here is that, you know, somewhere along the line of a third or more of the workforce is made up of people under the age of 34. The single largest percentage of workers by generation. And these are people who have different values, different outlooks on life. They're a much more mobile group of people. And these are people that are absolutely used to never new life without having technology at their fingertips, really even from the crib on. And that is creating, I think, some disparity and disconnects with older workers, people like me. I'm not sure that I'll speak for you in that, but certainly people like me who, you know, I remember when we didn't always have computers, at least not up through college.
Mm-hmm.
And how we look at things, and this is a generation that, the older generation is one that tends to not have the same career mobility. We stay put for longer periods of time. And so I think you need that translator so that while you have both of these sets of workers in the workforce, they need to be able to understand each other, need to be able to understand where each group is coming from and how they can work together to move in the same direction.
While we're talking about our technology chops, I will just briefly mention that I took a Radio Shack color computer and a daisy wheel printer to my dorm room in 1986, and people thought I was from another planet.
I bought a blender.
I figured somebody else would have one of those in a college environment. You note here, though, something about the workforce that I think is important to understand beyond the technology issue. You and I have spoken on about 80,000 occasions about the importance of relationship building in selling to the government. And you write that younger workers want to be more career mobile than their predecessors. That's an opportunity and a challenge for contractors. Why is that, Larry?
Well, the challenge, I think, comes in, and I experienced this when I ran the coalition, as you alluded to earlier. You have younger workers who want to come in and take over the world immediately. And that's great energy that you want to make use of, and people who have good ideas and new ideas, and they're very passionate about what they want to do. But, you know, if you came up, if the managers came up in an environment where, you know, junior staff, seen but not heard, they basically carried out the prerogatives of the more of the older workers, you know, that could be really perceived as a challenge to what managers are used to, because the younger workers, you know, they want to get involved today. They want to roll up their sleeves today. I remember I had one person who worked for me, and I called her a young woman in a hurry because she was in a hurry to take over the world. And, you know, that's the type of thing that you want to harness and make use of. You don't want to turn it off, but you want to, by the same token, make sure that, again, whatever we're doing, the ship of state is moving in the same direction.
What do you think the odds are that there is still somewhere in the federal government a daisy wheel printer still in use? Is that possible? I haven't thought about that printer for about 10, 15 years.
I would be willing to bet, Francis, that the odds are pretty high. I was in a meeting earlier this week with a CIO type who shall remain nameless who said, you know, we still have plenty of mainframes. So if there are plenty of mainframes, then there's got to be a daisy wheel printer.
I'm not talking dot matrix. That's different. it's a long story. Google it if you don't know what a daisy wheel printer is. Larry, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Francis.